if I did it, or if it was just Lou or me just doing it, I would, my mind would just go insane, because between doing the podcast and then all the other stuff, social media, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah.
and Lou keeps up with the YouTube channel too a lot. So
yeah, I find it.
Notice Wade's the only one without hair. It's because he pulled it all out, so I have to help him out.
Yeah, it's I mean, even for the magazine and my own podcast, it's a lot of work. So I can't imagine having a band or a couple of bands as well, and you know, concentrating all on the social media. Does the label pick up any of that for you guys as far as promotion wise, or is that strictly going to be just you guys?
Probably most likely just us. I mean, we just started with them. What, maybe like a few weeks ago? I mean, they finally got our artwork and everything for the CD and stuff like that. So things are just starting to get in motion. And I do notice that they did post something that we're with the label now. And I did see some other people, you know, share it and talk about it. So, you know, they're going to do their part. But I think most of it's going to be on us.
Yeah.
So as long as we can keep up with it and keep pushing the band and help push the record label as well, it should, you know, work out fairly well for us.
Right, right. Now, as far as promoting your music, is it something that you want to obviously you want to concentrate a lot on, but do you find that it takes away from the creative aspect, having to worry about the promotional as far as YouTube and Twitter and all that, or is it just part of the same gig?
It adds to it, actually.
Yeah, I think we all like doing. We all like doing something. You know, Alex likes to. He does all the mixing, and then, you know, he loves singing, and he plays all the instruments as well. So, and then, you know, Lou makes a lot of the videos that we have on YouTube, and I like to be doing things as well. I'm not as, you know, good as Lou or Alex is, but, you know, we all like to be creative. So I think it just, like Lou said, it just adds to, you know, the music and what we're doing with the band. So it's,
you know what I think it is? I think a lot of it is the fact that, you know, all of us collectively, 50,000 hours of putting time into our instrument, learning our craft, 20 plus years of paying dues in bands that never made it past the basement, past the garage, past the local watering hole, and just dealing with, you know, for lack of a better term, asshole musicians, to a point where the five of us have found each other, enjoyed each other's company as people first, got to know each other as musicians second, and third, realized that the five of us together sound a lot better than the five of us alone, because nobody wants to hear just power metal drums or loud, flashy guitar. It's just when the five of us come together, I'm going to quote Dio right now, it's magic. So, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, you know? And I think that's the one. I know you didn't ask us if we have any advice for musicians out there, but the only thing I'm going to tell people is just make sure that whoever you're playing with, yeah, making sure they're good is one thing. Making sure they're better people, I think, is more important.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Definitely, definitely true. And magic is what comes through the music. You can't hide that. You can't, you know, you can, in some bands, you can hear the stress and the tension. With this band, yeah. I don't hear any. I hear just a love of creation.
So far.
So far. Well, you know, a couple of tours down the road, who knows what's going to happen. But
that's what scared me about doing my other band, Project of Resurrect. That's why it's only two people. Because I was in bands previously with like four or five other people. And, you know, it gets to a point where you're always bickering and fighting with each other over stupid things, too. So, you know, I was always afraid of doing a band with more people, but with these guys, like I mentioned, we already kind of knew each other, and we're all grown up, and we're all older now, and we get along. You know, we're not kids, and we know what we want to do, and we have fun doing it. So that's what's going to keep this band going, and I think it's going to stay like that. We're all pretty used to each other joking around, and, you know, I might say some wrong things here and there, but everybody knows I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
for the most part,
it's true. I mean, I really gotta put over the band's talents, because, you know, a lot of people when they think of bass players, George, I'm putting you over right now. But a lot of people when they think of bass players, they just think, oh, it's the guy that plays one note. You know, like they think Michael Anthony from Van Halen. No, George has contributed riff ideas to you know, not just the songs, but like to the album. You know, he makes such great contributions, and that's from years of experience with, you know, learning to play with other people and listening for what sounds right, you know. And definitely I would say that the parts that he wrote, I would say, are some of the standout parts of the first album. And, you know, Alex, with him, I mean, I've played with a lot of guitar players, and, you know, we just mesh so well. It's like oil and vinegar in a healthy salad. It just makes it taste that much better, you know? Like, you know, and Wayne is the fat because he adds the meat to it, so,
you know. Save yourself on that one.
Of course. Well, no, because honestly, like, you know, a lot of people accuse drummers now of playing, you know, with triggers, or, you know, they're like, oh, they don't really replicate what they play on record live. No, Wayne can pull off what he does on record live. Right. You know, I've seen him do it. So, you know, it's just, and Mark's just a whiz. You know, like, when I think of him, the only person I compare him to is my favorite keyboard player from Dream Theater, and I'm not going to say Jordan Rudess, even though I respect him, but, you know, like, he's got, like, this Kevin Moore type aspect to him, where it's, like, it's melodic and catchy, you know? It's just, you're going to have to wait to hear the album to hear it for yourself, but I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed in it, because I know we're not, so.
Cool. I mean, so, performing it live, obviously, you guys, that's the plan, and besides the Long Island show and maybe the Pennsylvania show, what else do you have in the works?
Japan? Germany? Call us! Yeah, I'm not really sure. You know what it is? We're kind of, not that we're not too close to each other, but like Alex is an hour away from me. Lou is about maybe 45 minutes. Mark is about 40 or whatever, but George is like the furthest away. So it might be a little hard to get to play so many shows. We're still kind of like talking about like what we're going to do. I don't know. We'll have to really see, you know, where we'll end up doing with playing shows, because, you know, of everybody's distance and everything, and everybody's jobs, and everybody's got families. So we'll see. We know we do at least want to, like Lou said, we do want to do the record release show, at least maybe one or two shows of that or whatever. But we'll see what happens with the rest of it. As far as like doing anything else, we're still, like I said, we're working on new music for another album
already. Right.
So I think we, you know, we keep ourselves busy, just keep working on music, you know. I'm not really concerned about playing shows. I'd love to play shows, but if we can't, we can't, you know. As long as we keep creating music and doing what we do, I'm fine.
Right.
I know around the New York area, it's a lot harder. I mean, you don't have clubs like CBGB's or Continental anymore, where up-and-coming bands can go and play. During the pandemic, a lot of the more popular venues around Long Island, such as Revolution, they closed down. So all you really have left are mid-sized venues of like 500 people, where they're kind of ran by promoters, but there's also the pay-to-play factor that they want you to sell tickets to be able to play a lot of these shows. And, you know, we have to see if there would be any shows that we could play where we would be the right fit for the opening act. Like, if Helloween were to play the space at Westbury, I could see us jumping on that, but I don't think I could see us opening for the Spin Doctors, you know, like, for at the same venue. Like, that's just, well, that just wouldn't make any sense. You know, like, where did I come up with that name?
But
yeah, it's just, logistics just have to make sense, unfortunately, you know. I think part of what makes a band successful is not just being gung-ho about everything, you know. You have to plan your attacks. You have to execute, you know, your ideas better. This way it's like the bandmates are happy and whoever comes to see you is happy. You know, right. It has to make sense.
Yeah, to a degree, less would be more as far as that goes. You know, until demand is so great that you can stop, you know, begging the Spin Doctors for an opening slot, you know. But,
I mean, I remember playing shows with my older bands, and we would just play shows just to play shows, and I don't want to go back to that again.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. They, And the pay for play thing is nuts, but that's how it is around here. So,
right.
Yeah, it is what it is. I guess it's just economics. But
yeah, I can see if it's like some big band that we're gonna play with, and yeah, you know, we'll could definitely sell the tickets for it. But if it's just some no name bands, and,
yeah, right?
Not that I'm putting any bands down, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry, Spin Doctors.
Well, they're bigger than Led Zeppelin, so you know.
Right.
You can only hope for Spin Doctors. But I think you guys are doing the right thing. I think playing out too much or as often as you can is great for the band as far as the tightness and things like that. But as far as the fans go or gaining new fans, you might be saturating the area too much. And then people just like, okay, they're playing again. I don't really care. So I think you guys are on the right track as far as that promotional end of it goes. As far as like, so are there any subjects that you guys would not write about or sing about?
Yeah, I think we tackled this when we first started the band, because I tend to like to write about current events, and some people don't like to talk about politics. I don't like to talk about politics either, but I think we try to stay away from politics, you know, altogether in this band.
Yeah.
So we won't be talking about that. Anything else? Maybe anything about like sex? We probably won't talk about that either. Maybe loosely. I don't know. But I think politics is like the biggest one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that, because I just said I don't want to have to go on a hill that I have to die on, especially like if I'm proven wrong in a couple of months. And I think the five of us just kind of said, Yeah, that's pretty good. There was something that I wanted to add to that, but as far as did you say sex before, Wade?
Yeah, I don't know why.
What's that? I wouldn't know what to write about. No, just kidding.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
But there was the one song that I wanted to contribute called what was the original title? Oh yeah, I Like You Better With the Lights Off. I remember that. That was a song that I wanted to contribute.
Yeah, but no, there won't be any like girls, or you know, just stuff like that. We don't do that stuff.
Yeah, no,
but most of our songs about death and God, some of the things like Alex comes up with, and even Mark. Mark wrote a lot of the songs on the first album, and there's a lot of dark stuff on there. I'm like, maybe should we be worried a little bit about Mark?
Well,
I do remember somebody asked me, Severed Angel, are you a black metal band? And I said, no. Do I wear corpse paint? And then they said, oh, then you're a Christian band. I'm like, why does it have to be religious? And they're like, well, because the word angel's in the name. I'm like, so what? I mean, you know, the way the name came about was, I don't know, at the time that the band was forming, yeah, I was looking for a synonym for the word polarizing, and for some reason the word severing came up, and I said severed, okay, severed sounds cool, and you know, so polarizing viewpoint ended up originally becoming severed angle, but then I think it was Wayne or Alex who incorrectly typed it as severed angel. I'm like, you know what, that sounds better. So that's really what happened.
Wow, nice. Just a typo leads to a classic band name. That's cool.
Yeah, I figured there's a lot of more imagery you can do with Severed Angel.
Yeah.
Too, so I don't know how many pictures of angles we could show on the album.
Wow. Isosceles, equilateral, but who's counting?
Well, everyone likes a challenge, you know. So
you could, yeah. Well, maybe we should have kept it.
Yeah.
Too late now.
No.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to do this and to let me chat with you guys, and hopefully, I'll get a chance to see the band, because I'm not too far away from Long Island, maybe 3 hours. But yeah, it'd be great to see you guys pull these songs down live. Are there any things that you would want to say to new fans that would hear this or read about this, as far as like websites or where to get merch, things like that?
George, you want to answer this?
I think he's on mute. George is on mute. You're on mute, George. Nope. ahead, Luke, because you have all that information with the Teak Public and the website.
Oh, well, there is a link that you could go to. There is our link tree. That's linktr.ee/severedangel. We also have a Bandcamp where you could buy all of our original singles over at severedangel.bandcamp.com. We are on YouTube, iTunes, and Spotify, and Amazon Music. And if you want to support us and buy merchandise, everything is on the link tree. And that's spelled SEVEREDANGEL. So, Linktree, Severed Angel. Awesome. That's all you need to know.
Awesome.
And the .com is coming soon, promise.
Ah, and what about the OnlyFans? You guys going to do that?
Yes, Severed Angel OnlyFans. Yeah. It's already up there.
Oh, all right.
Mostly a video of Lou, though. I don't know.
Well.
Yeah, it's just me eating pickles and donuts while you hear Jenna Jameson screaming in the background. What?
No. Well, there's your song. There's your song about sex. You know, it's going to come right from there.
Oh, that's true.
Stick my pickle in your donut.
Hey, okay.
Cool. Well, it's a B-side.
Oh, wow.
yeah, she's B-side. Okay, cool.
All right. All right, well, it was great talking to you guys, and I wish you all the luck, and I will do everything I can to promote you on my level. And
awesome.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Right.
Thank you very much for having us on the show.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Bye.